Hello again, beautiful creators. This is Kadisha King, and today I will be reflecting on the concept of spiritual rebirth in yoga, which is an event that marks the transition from the place on your path where you are done developing your necessary physical, emotional, and spiritual body, one that is healthy enough to bring your true self into the world, when you are ready and receptive enough to connect for the first time and safely, blissfully, and without ego deformity, bring your greatest self-expression into the world in order to fulfill your true birthright and purpose. But before we begin, I feel that it is important to point out one thing as we discuss this and other philosophical concepts in yoga moving forward. Sometimes, with yoga, especially when it comes to the philosophical aspects, the literal can easily be mistaken for the metaphorical, and the metaphorical for the literal. And this is because, in some ways, the two reflect the full truth of our experiences so clearly and honestly that it is easy to over-romanticize a simple fact when it is plainly stated. And it is also easy to miss the straightforward message being communicated to us using symbolic language as well. The blatant and the subtle both require our astute attention. Karma, for example, simply means action in the form of words, thoughts, and doings that have a cause and effect. There is no judgment when it comes to karma, because judgment itself can only take place in the ego, not from a place where full truth is present. With karma, therefore, there are only outcomes for our actions, and these outcomes do not just simply impact our lives, but because of our interconnectedness, they impact the whole world around us as well. This, and not for any other reason, as is commonly believed, is why we try to do the right karma at all times, not out of fear of punishment that will come in the form of suffering due to any unknown force outside of us, but out of understanding that certain actions can lead to suffering, starting with us, and that we can either create or not create the starting point for this within ourselves, enabling us to take more conscious and intentional actions from both within and in the world in order to maintain our pledge to our path. This is important to note, because it is only through our full use of our awareness, using our higher level thinking capabilities, using our developed discernment skills to sift through acquired knowledge in our brains, and by paying attention on multiple levels to what is being stated, that we can truly grasp the meaning in and of any communication. This is true with everything from conversational communication with others, to the communication of lessons passed on in books, to the communication coming from within us in the form of intuition. It is only by listening with more than just our ears and seeing with more than just our eyes that we can gain full understanding. And this high-level listening strengthens our ability to test the validity of external information more effectively as well. When we look at anything with the intention to know more about it through deep observation and neutral contemplation in yoga and in life in general. This process, to reiterate once more, and as our previous sutra number 18 even hinted at, is the same for all things. From understanding concrete objects, to spoken words, to written text, to ideas, to mathematics, and to complex concepts. And having experience gives us more information to sift through with our discerning minds, thus increasing our likelihood of identifying truths more clearly and effectively, which is why we practice in order to gain experiential knowledge in the first place. One of the main reasons why yoga seems so mysterious and out of reach for so many is that it is often positioned from a place shrouded with misunderstanding and superstition, and even some religious beliefs, depending on who is interpreting and presenting its main ideas. But yoga, we must always remember, is neither a magical and mysterious esoteric ritual practice performed for the enlightenment of a very few, nor is it solely a physical practice that is aimed at providing superficial relaxation and physical fitness benefits to its practitioners. Yoga is a science and a process. An ancient science, mind you, but one that is an incredibly notable, relevant, and credible science, backed by even our modern research that allows us to gain useful awareness for optimal living. It is focused on the study of the self and all of the internal and external factors that make it difficult for humans to connect to the truth of their full expression as they move from being guided by their animal nature to becoming fully self-aware and then operating from the higher functioning parts of their full being and presence. Samadhi, therefore, is the state of being self-realized after a process of becoming well-adjusted on all possible levels as one works through the seven limbs on the eightfold path that come before it. It is a state of consciousness that is gained as a result of performing self-purification and internal strengthening and conditioning. It is a state of being that is unattached to the false self-expressions of the ego, so that one is fully able to connect to the truth of who he or she really is in every possible way. From the literal and physical to the subtle and cosmic, through meditation and pure receptivity. When it comes to living, only one physical life exists for all humans. There is no credible alternative fact that contradicts this truth. From the moment of our birth to the moment that we realize our true selves, the only deaths and reincarnations that we experience are the metaphorical and literal ones that occur within and with our ego. We, therefore, move as we navigate through our relationships, social groups, and society through a wide range of identities that often mark our shifts in understanding, perspective, and internal states throughout life, until we are finally reborn for the last time into the full truth of who we are if we do the work that is required to gain the experience that allows us to fully see. This is what I feel Patanjali means when he mentions rebirth in Sutra 19. When samadhi is obtained, we are not only liberated from the trappings of the ego and its accompanying attachments, we are free from the ego expression altogether, and from the perpetual cycle of death and reconstruction that it creates. We become free enough on a consciousness level to experience our full and true self in both a tangible and cosmic way, and do so even while being fully present in our physical bodies. We experience bliss that connects us with the truth that liberates us from the suffering of life, even though it does not literally take us out of life or out of the realm of suffering itself. We remain in the world, but because we are self-aware within it, aware of our eternal nature and indestructible spirit, we are therefore unaffected by the world. While alive, we still navigate in our physical bodies, but we do not over-identify with any state in which it may exist or any experience that may alter it. We are free. To illustrate this point more clearly with a well-known point of reference, picture how Jesus Christ died in physical pain on the cross, harassed and then humiliated in public before he was executed in a slow and torturous way. Even despite all that was done to his physical body, it is written that he never truly died on the cross at all, and was instead resurrected after his physical death. He endured physical pain, but never suffered, because he had already gained eternal life and liberation after the death of his ego, when his connection to the Holy Spirit Christed him. He simply returned to this essence in death. Do you see more clearly now how it's possible to be in the world but not of it after one's spiritual rebirth? After hearing this example? If not, you may simply want to shift your thinking from the literal to the metaphorical in order to see things more clearly from a different perspective.